All right, as Jason said, we're going to continue this morning in our Advent series, As the Darkness Clears Away. And in this, you know, this morning we're going to focus on John 1, verses 1 through 14. And I know Jason just read it, but I like repetition, so I'm going to go ahead and read it again. So if you guys are already there in your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. So we're going to start in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So this first section we're going to talk about is in John 1, verse 1. So we're going to start kind of going through a few of these verses. And we're going to talk about Jesus is the Word. So again, verse 1 states, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we're in the middle of the Christmas season. You know, it's very easy to become complacent when we're celebrating the Christmas season. Aside from the culture not knowing or understanding what the true meaning of Christmas is, it's easy for everyone, including Christians, to get caught up in the hustle and bustle and busyness of the season and forget about the magnificence of what occurred on Christmas Day. Radio stations start playing Christmas music right after Thanksgiving, sometimes before Thanksgiving. We put up our Christmas lights and Christmas trees and all the decorations, sometimes before Thanksgiving, sometimes after Thanksgiving. That was a debate in our house. Some wanted it up before Thanksgiving. I know some that are missing here this morning usually have it up way before Thanksgiving. But we start talking about Christmas. We get all the decorations up. Even with all those traditions, those can just become habits. It's still a season that brings a lot of visibility into the birth of Lord Jesus Christ, but they can become habits. It's the blessing of God to have those opportunities, you know, to be reminded of the birth of Jesus. But complacency is something, you know, to be aware of. And I know some of you know I work in an electric company, and complacency is very important in the electric utility industry. We work around very high voltages each and every day. And, you know, just want to give you a comparison of how much electricity, you know, my team works around each and every day. You know, when you look at a typical house, you know, the plug on the right-hand side, you're in a household, you're typically having around 120 volts. And the facilities that we work in and around that transport the electricity to your house, some of them, like what you see pictured there is a substation, that has what we call 500 kilovolts. So it's 500,000 volts. So compare that to the 120 volts in the house, and you know how dangerous electricity is in the house, right? Get electrocuted there. Compare that to 500,000 volts that are in and around that substation. You have to be very careful. And safety is our top priority at work. We have to be reminded of it. We can become complacent, just doing our job, going in, working on the equipment we need to. And if we don't wear the right equipment, do the right things, we can get very seriously hurt or killed. And that's a thing that at work of becoming complacent, remembering why each and every day when we work on these things, we want to be going to work and coming home the same way we went to work. So that's a very important thing at work. And as I tie that back to, you know, why it's important for me and my team on a day-to-day basis, you think about Christmas and what it means about the birth of Jesus and the facts surrounding, you know, the birth of Jesus. that can result in really lessening the appreciation or the why are we celebrating the birth of Jesus? And, you know, to help guard against that danger, you know, let's consider what God has done for us by sending Jesus. So unlike the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, John begins his gospel account by describing the significance of Jesus coming into the world in the opening verse, where he announces that, that the Word is God. So that Word is Jesus. In Hebrew, the Word is associated with several aspects of God's nature and work. His sovereign power is displayed as he speaks creation into existence. Throughout Genesis 1, you know, the verses 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, 24, and 26 all start out with, "And God said." In Psalm 33, verse 6, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host." So you see, "by the word" in Psalm 33, verse 6. His word also reveals, as testified by the various prophets, it is also by his word that God delivers his people. You see, in Psalm 107, verse 20, "He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." In Isaiah 55, 11, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." So the beginning of that verse, "so shall my word that goes out." Jesus is the Word. John uses that term to designate the one whose birth is what is who we're celebrating. John expresses to us exactly what God wants us to know. He is God's communication to us. So this Christmas, remember that Jesus did not begin at his birth. He is the Word that was in the beginning with God. So the next thing we're going to talk about is the Word is God. So we're going to continue with verse 1 and go through verse 4. So again, starting in verse 1 through 4, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So whether you've grown up hearing about Jesus' birth as a Christian, especially around Christmas, you can lose the importance or significance of the birth just based on repetition. Like I said, it just kind of becomes a habit. You know, think about when you buy a car, you know, a new car or even a new-to-you car. You get that new feeling. You have something new. It's new to you. But the feeling of how nice it is and how new it is to you over time, that newness feeling kind of wears off, and it's just a car. Or when, you know, we live here in the Akron area and we're so close to a national park, Cuyahoga Valley National Park, and all the awe and wonder of some of the beautiful things God's created within that park, it's right next door to us. It's in our backyard. How often do we visit and enjoy that awe and beauty that God has created right in our backyard? With these similar feelings, Christians can also become desensitized to what we are saying when we confess the deity of Jesus Christ and celebrate his birth at Christmas. Earlier we saw that Jesus is the Word that John announces in the first part of verse 1. Now we'll focus on the end of the verse 1 where we see that the Word is God. So Jesus is God. John makes three claims that lead us to confess the deity of Jesus. First, the word Jesus was in the beginning. This is coming from Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Just as God is eternal, so too is Jesus. Jesus did not begin his existence at his birth in Bethlehem. He didn't even begin to exist at creation. He was in the beginning. Verse 3 clarifies that point. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is not something that was created, because he is the source of everything that is created. All things that have been made, all things that exist, were made through him, through Jesus. If we look at Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And listen to this in verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So by him all things were created, and he was before all things. In the second claim, John declares that Jesus was with God. Jesus is a distinct, is a person distinct from God the Father, yet one with him. By making this statement, John is calling our attention to the great mystery. Where God was, there was the Word. The Son has always been with the Father. The Father and the Son are two persons, yet they are united in one being. That points us to the Trinity. Then John begins his third claim about Jesus. Not only was he in the beginning and with God, but the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. He is not a God. When we look at the Nicene Creed, it reads, Jesus is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. He is God. He is of the very same nature as the Father. He is the author of creation, as you see in verse 3, and the source of life and light in verse 4. These are the attributes of God. John links this back to the creation to illustrate that not only was Jesus there, but he was there as the very Word that spoke, that God spoke to bring everything into existence. From this account, we should keep from being complacent about the birth of Jesus in the Christmas story. Jesus was not like you or me, like any other baby born on earth, and his birth was not an ordinary birth, and he was definitely no ordinary baby. So if we pause for a minute and let that sink in, you think of all the families and births represented right here in this room. We think of how our births were and how we existed as babies in the womb of our mother. Jesus did experience that birth with his mother Mary, but he existed in the beginning, back before Genesis, and was with God when everything was created here on earth. And that is the part that makes his birth becoming flesh even more magnificent and something we should not be complacent about, but pause and marvel at. Like John, we must be drawn to this and be amazed at the great mystery of Jesus, as he was in the beginning with God and was God. So now we're going to talk about the Word becoming flesh in John 1 and chapter or verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So far we've seen two amazing truths shared here in the Gospel of John. The Word is Jesus, and Jesus is God. Now as we look at verse 14, in Jesus, God has come to us as a man. God became a man. Remember what we just got done covering. The Word is God, and now in verse 14, the Word became flesh. Therefore, God became flesh. God became man. God dwelt among us in the person of Jesus. He came to live with us on earth. Isn't that amazing? In verse 14, it says, the Word was made flesh. God became man. The Almighty appeared on the earth as a helpless human baby, unable to do more than what we did growing up as a baby. You know, just wiggling, making noises, needing to be fed, needing to be diapered. You know, not sure what diapers they used back then. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. In Jesus, we can know God because he has come to us. At the end of verse 14, you see that God, Jesus, has two dimensions, grace and truth. Jesus reveals that God is full of grace. What is grace? Grace is God's kindness and love shown to people who deserve the opposite. It is unmerited favor and love shown to those unworthy who deserve God's wrath. Jesus also reveals that God is truth. The very fact that God became man reveals the truth about people. We are sinners in need of salvation. We need someone to pay for our sins. Jesus also reveals the truth about God. In Jesus, we learn that God is holy, he's just, he's almighty, and he's loving. Jesus also teaches us the truth about heaven, hell, eternity, and eternal life. John 3, verse 36 says this, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So as we think about and celebrate Christmas, let's remember what we learned in these verses. God has come to us. When Jesus was born, God became a baby boy to rescue us from our sin penalty, which is death. That is what the birth of Jesus is all about. This is something to celebrate this Christmas as a believer in our Savior, Jesus, who dwelt among us. Next, we're going to talk about light and life at Christmas. So we're going to be looking at verse 4. So verse 4 reads, "In him was life, and life was the light of men." So when we think about family traditions and Christmas, we have a family tradition, you know, similar to Polar Express called the Minivan Express, right? We get hot chocolate, we get popcorn, we get in a van, we go around Medina, go through Medina Fairgrounds, look at all the lights, look at the neighborhoods, come here to Wadsworth and see, you know, the Griswold's house, not the Griswold's here, but, you know, Lampoon's Griswold house. But it's a nice, you know, we all get excited. The kids were, you know, even Avery was asking this week, "Hey, when are we going out to see the lights? When are we doing the minivan express?" So we get excited about lights this time of year, whether it's in our house or outside, just looking around. And there are some people that aren't able to enjoy Christmas lights. So just take a few seconds here. Go ahead and just close your eyes. Don't fall asleep. Just close your eyes. What do you see? Nothing. This is the same thing a person who is blind would see. Nothing. Go ahead and open your eyes. They aren't able to see all the beautiful lights this time of year. No, similar to that physical blindness, there is spiritual blindness. So the darkness, you know, as I know Jason and Dave covered the past couple weeks, darkness is the sin. This is how our people in our world and our culture live. Unless you're a believer and have faith in Jesus, you're spiritually blind. In the Bible, Jesus refers to himself as the light of the world. He uses this metaphor to describe his mission here on earth. Not only is Jesus the light of the world, but he is also the source and giver of spiritual life. And it says here in the beginning of verse 4, "In him was life." If you look at Psalm 18, verse 28, "For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness." In John 12, verse 46, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." Spiritual life is provided from Jesus. In John 1, verse 4, where it states, "And the life was the light of men," John is equating life and light, where life is manifested and is called light. It is the nature of light to shine forth. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For with you is the fountain of life. Is your light, do we see light?" Our world is living in darkness, in sin, as sinners. And as we think about Christmas and enjoy all the Christmas lights, let's remember who Jesus is. He was in the beginning, he was with God, and he was God. And if you have belief in him, he provides the gift for you, for your spiritual blindness of eternal life and light. Now we're going to talk about a light in the darkness. So we're going to look at John 1, verse 5. "So the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." A lot of us living in this area earlier this year experienced the full solar eclipse right here on April 8th, 2024. For those that might not have experienced it, it was amazing to watch. You know, in the middle of the day, bright shining sun goes away. It's like experiencing darkness or nighttime when you don't expect it. Here's a few pictures from our backyard. You know, kind of, these are not professional. These are, you know, from a typical, you know, phone camera at this point. But you can see from before, during, and after the eclipse. When that eclipse happened, you could just, it felt like nighttime. The birds were chirping, the animals, it was just different. It felt like nighttime right in the middle of the afternoon. And what I was amazed at is just how little bit of light is needed to provide light around. It was like leading up to the full eclipse, and there was still light, and then it was full. And then right after it was done, just a little bit of light, man, it just lit everything up. You didn't need very much light, you just needed some light. And when you think of blindness, when you're full of that darkness, all you need is light. Otherwise, how would you see? You're blinded. The blindness and the need for the light applies to both our physical and our spiritual needs. Remember that God created everything, including the sun and the moon, and the eclipse, and the darkness, and the light. If you're a believer, you're living in darkness. If you aren't a believer, you're living in darkness. Earlier we saw that Jesus is life and light, and he provides light to those in spiritual darkness. They are without God, separated from him, and without direction, unsure how to go, where to go, how to proceed. Today people worship a lot of different things, different idols, different things like money, reputation, comfort, security, sports. These are all their idols, all their gods. As we look at verse 5, Jesus comes to those who are in the darkness as the light. We see this language throughout the Bible describing the way that God comes to people. He breaks into lives as the light breaks into the darkness. Ephesians 5:8 says it this way, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The spiritual darkness is our fallenness. It is the result of sin in this world. Going back to Genesis in the garden with Adam and Eve, they lived in the light with God until they sinned and everything changed. The light went away and spiritual darkness fell. The sin penalty is death. And that is why we, as sinners, living in the darkness of sin, desperately need the light of Jesus. In the darkness, in the sin, people not only need light, but sight. Sinners need new life. They need new hearts to love and trust Christ. The good news is that Jesus Christ, who gives light, also gives sight. He does this primarily through the ministry of the Spirit, who enables those who hear the gospel to see and enter the kingdom of God. John verses 3 and verse 5, Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So as a believer in Jesus as your Savior, you've been provided the light and sight, and that we should be viewing everything in this world. And I like this quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." So that's the lens that he's seeing and how we should view everything. So as a believer, we are still sinners. But as a believer, we have been given the light and the sight. We no longer live in that darkness. Jesus has come, died for our sins, and he lives and rules and reigns. We who trust him no longer live in the darkness of sin. As we enjoy the Christmas lights this season, remember that Jesus is our spiritual light. Otherwise, we'd be continuing to live in spiritual darkness. As we reflect on what we've covered today, and as we celebrate the birth of Jesus during the Christmas season, let us remember these things as we remember why we celebrate Jesus' birth and who he truly is. Jesus was in the beginning. He was there before creation. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is God. Jesus is light, and Jesus is life. So if you're a believer, don't just go through the motions and habits of Christmas and be complacent. Take time to be amazed, marvel at who this little baby boy was and what he provides, because he loved us first. Share this good news during the Christmas season and all through the year and all through your life here on earth. Remember, there are non-believers that God will use you to share the truth, his good news. God has called us to live out his will, honoring and glorifying Him and share His great news. What better time to do this than Christmas, to remember our calling as Christians? Let's pray. God, thank You for this morning. Thank You for the words in John and just helping us to remember just during this Christmas season who You are, and just be amazed and just be in awe of what You provide. So as we go through and enjoy the things that You provide to us, in celebrating the birth of Your Son, and with the Christmas lights and the trees and just all the fun and exciting things that we do in this season, help us to stop and remember and pause and not be complacent, and remember why we're celebrating and what we're celebrating. And we just thank You for loving us first. Thank You for Jesus coming and being born and dying on the cross for our sins and being raised. And I just pray as we continue through this Christmas season that You use us living out Your will to honor and glorify You in all that we do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.